Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. Come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
I know you said it, girl.
Jimmy
Cash. Yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want it.
We give, showing others how to live. We care, share, we love all through the land.
Hello out there. Today is an all-in-one. We got Mindful Monday, Teller Tuesday, Think Thursday, Find It Out Friday. You're going to be in for a treat today. You know, this show is going to be put out there by request of the National Congress of Black Women. My Los Angeles chapter chair, which I'm a member of, Arlene Harris, asked that I come on and try to get this information out to you. We are honored here. The Los Angeles chapter of the National Congress of Black Women is a organization that was founded by Shirley Chisholm in 1984. And if you don't know who Shirley Chisholm is, you know what? Do some research. I don't have 10 hours to tell you. But I can share a quote with you that she said. This was her motto. She said, if they didn't have a seat at the table for you, to take your own chair. So she was not a change agent. She was a change maker. But the National Congress of Black Women Los Angeles chapter is believing in making a difference, empowering African-American women to act, okay, making a difference in the lives of members of our community. We encourage the appointment of Los Angeles women at all levels of government and political policy as role models for the next generation of leaders. And today, we're going to bring to you the author of the legendary Dick Gregory. Title of the book is Wake Up, Stay Woke. Okay, Running for Your Life, and this is Dick Gregory. The author of this book is Dr. E. Faye Williams. Dr. E. Faye Williams is an author, professional teacher, radio show host, businesswoman, a human rights activist, attorney, ordained ministry, and a journalist. Dr. Williams is the president and CEO of the National Congress of Black Women. Okay? She was also the former counsel for the U.S. Congress, District of Columbia. Okay, the Subcommittee on the Judiciary Education. She's a professor of international law, Southern University, centered in Baton Rouge. Former chief of staff for the late Marion Barrett. Former teacher in Los Angeles Unified School District. Served as President Barack Obama as a member of the Presidential Scholars Committee. This is a awesome lady that we're going to have join with us today. Her educational background, she has a master's degree, okay, public administration from the University of Southern California, doctorate, Howard University, School of Law, administration and supervisor, accredited for UCLA. She has a BS degree from Columbia, from Grambling State, and a PhD in public administration, a doctor of ministry from the Wesley Theological Seminary. She's attended Atlanta Law School, University of Michigan, Pepperdine University, George Washington University. She has credentials in education policy fellowship programs. And she was the first African-American to run a vital political campaign for the U.S. Congress in Louisiana and a prolific speaker. Dr. Williams is here. In Los Angeles, she will have her book signing on Saturday, June 26th at 614 West Manchester from 4 to 6. You want to be there. You definitely want to be there to attend that book signing and meet that wonderful woman. Now, today, I'd like to say we'd like to welcome in Dr. E. Faye Williams. It's a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to have you join us here and care and share on Waking Up with Linda McShann. You know, we do things a little differently here. We want you to be as relaxed as possible, so we don't ask a lot of questions. But I'd like to ask just one, what inspired you to write this great book and the message that you're trying to give? And on that note, we're going to leave it up to Dr. E. Faye Williams. And before we get there, I'm going to play my favorite song.
Get up.
is the way that we can unite and make these changes today. And as I was speaking with you earlier about our wonderful guest that we are honored to have join us today, Dr. Ife Williams, the CEO and President of the National Congress of Black Women. I gave you some insight about her. I let you know about the foundation. This organization was founded by Shirley Chisholm. And again, if you don't know who she is, do some research, but I'll give you her quote one more time. She said, if there's not a seat at the table for you, take your chair. You know, Dr. Williams is a life member of the Delta Sigma Theta Sorority National Congress of Black Women. She's a member of the District of Columbia Bar Association, Alpha Kappa Mu, National Honor Society, serves as president of the Gremlin Alumni Association. She was inducted into the History Makers and the Gremlin Hall of Fame. She received a award, a unique Mandela Insurance with the Dignity Award. She's known Ebony Magazine for the most 100 influential Black American women, and she's working weekly as a contributor writer for the Trace ED Wire Service. We are honored today to take and have this legend, living legend with us, with Waking Up with Linda McShann. Dr. Williams, Dr. Ife Williams, are you on the air with us with Waking Up with Linda McShann?
I am, Linda, and I was just listening to you. I thought you were talking about somebody else with all those things you were saying.
you weren't on when I gave the real still in the beginning, but I'm going to send you this invitation because, you know, I could go on and on about you. I told them about your history. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you with us today. I know that you're on your nationwide book tour, and you'll be joining here in California, Inglewood, California, on Saturday, June 26th from 4 to 6 o'clock at 614 West Manchester. I'm telling everyone to go out there and meet it. I let them know that you were native born of Louisiana. You know, I'm right across the road. I'm a Texan, and I'm going to see
I just left Texas. I was in Houston.
I know. Mm-hmm. I've been following you. I've heard all about it. You know all my people. You met some of my family there. They probably bought up about 50 books because it's 200 of them. And, you know, everybody has to have.
I'm going again in July, Texas Southern. I think there is one July 17th. So maybe you can announce it for me later and your listeners down there can hear it.
And you'll be at Texas Southern? Well, my niece-in-law works there in the doctoral department, preparing the PhDs for their testing. Mm-hmm. So I will just send her the information and make sure the whole campus is there. July 17th.
Wonderful. I'll get times and the exact information on it a little later and give it to you. Okay? I appreciate that. But I'm looking forward to coming to Los Angeles. You know, I used to live in Los Angeles. I've got a lot of friends there. Many of them are all grown up. One of my seventh grade students is going to be asking me questions at the book signing. Mark Ridley Thomas. I taught him in seventh grade.
Mark? Ridley Thomas. Yes, I saw that on the flyer. I guess that's going to be exciting.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if it's a surprise to anybody, but he was one of my great students. I loved him. He was the nicest little boy.
And guess what? He's still the nicest big man.
I look forward to seeing him and hope that I'll see some of my other former students. I remember the names of the good students. It was like Lee G. Davenport, Dexter Henderson, Mark Thomas at that time. And I remember all of those. I have Deborah. I can't think of Deborah's last name right now, but she's a principal of a school. So I have many students from Carver Junior High who went on to accomplish great things, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of them. I know they're listening to your show.
Though they are, and if they're not, they're going to read about it. You know, we put it out there for them. And you said that it was Hendricks? Could you give me
Henderson,
his name again?
Henderson, Lee G. Davenport, then it was Mark Thomas. Those were my great students. And my very first seventh grade class. It was my first time teaching, and they were such wonderful students. I loved them. I've run into Mark Ridley Thomas a few times across the country, and he knew me immediately. I was so delighted that I was one of those, I guess, one of his good teachers. He at least remembered me and said kind things.
Well, you know, they move on a spirit that's fed down to them. I always say that it comes from the top, and if the head is solid, then the body will fool on, and that's a good a sign from your seventh grade student that you put it through the pipeline very well. And I cannot wait to have the opportunity to meet you. The book, Dick Gregory. You know, it's so wonderful when authors to write. It's an ordeal. Mm-hmm. I have a folder here myself, and everything that comes to my mind, Dr. Williams, I write it on a piece of paper. I don't care how crazy it is, and I put it in the folder.
You should see all the different pieces of paper for my next book and my next book and my next one. But in the case of Dick Gregory, of course, he was my best friend, my running buddy. We did a lot of protesting and civil rights work, human rights work. And when he left, I mean, I was just lost. I was in great pain. And, of course, the best way to get through that for me was to write. I did the same for my good friend Cicely Tyson, who died just a little bit before that time, and then just my mom a few weeks ago. So I've just lost a lot of my very best friends, including my mom, over the last few months. And Mr. Gregory, of course, has been gone for about 3 years now, but I have so much around me, so many memories of things that we did together. And I hope everybody's going to be listening on July 4th when a documentary is coming out about him, the one and only Dick Gregory. You've probably been seeing the advertising, and I do have a bit part in that documentary.
Okay, the one and only, and that's on July 4th.
July 4th.
Okay.
It's going to be showing on Showtime. It's going to be showing all day.
Showtime. Okay, all day. So I'll put that down.
Yeah.
And we want to send condolences to you for your mom. My mom is no longer here in the physical, but I can share with you here in your new. This is just happening. My mother passed in 2008, but I'm going to say something to you, Dr. Williams. They don't ever go nowhere. Okay, they ride right
on
your
shoulder. I say good morning to her. I say good morning, good night to her. I talk to her all the time. It's like she is here. She is with me all the time. Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, I was blessed because she lived until she was just about 99. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Long time.
Yeah, so I had her for a long time. That's never enough, but I'm still blessed that I had her for so long. You know, my mom was never ill. Even the week that she left us, she just one day stopped eating, and for a few days later she was gone, but the doctor said she wasn't in pain or anything, so that was a blessing.
Well, that was a real blessing, and my mother passed on her birthday. And in some philosophies, as you know, has been in the ministry, when a person passes on their birthday, they're right back here, because some philosophers believe in no beginning and no end. So that meant that she said, I came in here, and I'm going to take it out the way I want to take it out. And that's a beautiful.
That's sort of what, you know, my mom, it wasn't her birthday, but she stopped eating one day, and then all of her children, grandchildren, great-grands and great-great-grands gathered around her bed one day. They'd all come from all over to be there with her and to see her, and, you know, never thinking she's going to be leaving us. But she opened her eyes on that day when we were all standing there, and she closed them. She, after looking around the room, she closed them, and then she just stopped breathing without any pain. Yeah.
Wow. That was it seems painful, but that's a beautiful scene. That's a beautiful event to witness, you know, because that lets you know that she was at peace. She saw everyone that she needed to see, and giving everyone her blessings, and you guys were right there with her. That's a joyful thing. You know, people think of death as a sadness, but no, joy is just a form of a person going and taking a nap before they come back again. In some philosophies, you know, it just depends on how you view it. But I can share with you, when I'm getting ready to do that dance without any music, you know how we can get coming out. You know how Texans are. We call it like it is and say what has to be said. My mother will whisper in my ear, just as sweet, I did not teach you that. And I hear her just as clear. She calms me down immediately. So
right.
A mother's and a daughter, a mother and child relationship, and I call it a transition, is a little bit different than another parent. But that mother connection is there. Well, I am so glad that, you know, you care and share with us so much. You're a very authentic person. You have done tremendous things. You're doing things I cannot wait. I was just reading and talking. I haven't had the opportunity to go through the entire book because I need to get books for every family member down there. And the ones that didn't purchase, you're going to go back. But those are going to be their Christmas gifts because I believe in my great-great-niece's reading and getting that history and understanding. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Dr. Williams, what inspired you? I know the friendship and I know all of the memories and the histories, but what message? I'm going to just ask you that one question. We don't do CNN over here, but I wanted to ask that one question to you. What message is being put out there from this book?
Well, you know, a lot of people have written about Dick Gregory. The documentary is coming up shortly. A lot of people will be commenting on that. And we've read a lot of books. He has a lot of books out. Other people have written about him and done movies about him. But my book is a bit different. It's not, I didn't do research to do his book. This is from personal experience, from our being out picketing somebody, protesting somebody, going to court, going to jail, you know, once in a while. He went a lot of times. So it makes my book a bit different from other books where people just researched who he was. I can tell you some funny stories. I can tell you, you know, some sad stories. But the point is, I wanted people to know that Dick Gregory was more than just a comic. He was a human rights activist, civil rights activist, voting rights, health person, just a teacher in general for brothers as he walked down the street. He was teaching them lessons as they walked with him. Everybody, it seems, learned something from him if they knew him.
Ah, okay. It's a clear picture. That's what I wanted to get out because, you know, like I said, people do their research, but you have this firsthand personal information. You can tell the history. As I was saying, that you are, we're getting ready to hear authenticity here, and we're getting ready to hear a true fact. And I didn't know what the message was, but you co-signed just what I was feeling within my spirit to put out there.
Well, you know, his family often tell me that I know more about him than they knew because we did so many things together. We worked together. We went to his shows, to his daughter, Ayanna Gregory's shows together. His son, Dr. Christian Gregory, works with me now. So I knew them all. I knew Mrs. Gregory. We've helped to celebrate her birthday as well as his birthday. And there's just so much about the Gregory family. So many of them are so talented, and I'm so very proud of them. And I've, you know, kept my association with him, with them since he's been gone. I can't even say the word die when I mention him because no one ever thought that Dick Gregory would die. And there's so much out there that he left with us that we can continue to learn from the things that he did.
Yes. Yes, less. So many teachings. I'm a firm believer of each one, teach one. But I have a thing, you know, we just had this celebration of Juneteenth. And, you know, coming out of Texas my family is like in Lake Jackson, Arlington, Angleton, but I grew up in Houston, but, you know, that's where they say it all started. But us from there know that it started further back than that. And the dates and the things that we are being told about, it goes a little bit deeper because we know the true story. So I'll share this with the young lady. She said, well, you know, you guys never said you. What's this red soda water? I say, yeah, you guys call it soda. We call it red soda water. I say, soda water or soda pop.
We call it both of them, soda water and soda pop.
Yeah, we didn't get to the pot. Pot was a little bit more sophisticated. We called it red soda water. And we had the red velvet cakes. And I said, I asked my auntie one time, auntie, why are we eating all this red stuff? I said, and my auntie told me that you are celebrating the blood of your ancestors. We want you to eat it and drink it and never forget it. And I never forgot.
Yeah, well, don't leave out that watermelon now. That watermelon.
Of course. We had to have the watermelon. to set up. But it was more so the red soda water because my family was almost vegetarian. We were brought up Seventh-day Adventist. I'm an Adventist girl. And our methods of eating and things of that nature, but I go back now. People say, well, Linda, I say, look, it was my diet, raw chicken and raw fish. I said, and that diet has kept me sustained up until this day. Now, in between, I put a lot of junk there, but it was your diet and the information. Mm-hmm. So what I tell the young adults, and I'm so glad that you're here and taking this wonderful tour, is that you have to get those stories told to you. And you don't have the opportunity of sitting down at your auntie's feet and hearing who you are, what you're about, and what you're capable of doing. And once that's embedded in your system, you can move on through life to do what you have to do. And on your touring, how many cities have you, Dr. Williams, been in, and how many to go? Because you're out there building and moving.
Yeah, I just received the books about 10 days ago, and I did my first one at my mom's church in Alexandria, Louisiana. It was wonderful. Many people from Grambling, from Delta, from all kinds of places with which I was affiliated came out for it. Joe Simon, the singer's mayor, came out. The mayor of Alexandria came out. So it was really an exciting day. Many people there had not even, you know, seen the mayor before, but he had been in school with my brother since they were in first grade, so that was exciting to have him there. We moved from there on to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where we have a chapter of the National Congress of Black Women. They had a wonderful event there, had great interviews while I was there, so many other people learned about the book who were not present. They learned, you know, they could get it on Amazon or here in Washington, D.C., Busboys and Poets Restaurant carries it. They have a bookstore within the restaurant. Then we moved from Baton Rouge on up to St. Louis, which is where Dick Gregory grew up. And from there, we went to Carbondale, Illinois, which is the university where he ran track and had some very funny things happen there. One day, for instance, his commanding officer, once he left Carbondale and went into the military, you know, because men were drafted at that time, he was a peace activist, so it's even strange to hear that he was in the military. But one day his commanding officer was coming toward him, and he jumped in this big pot on the yard, on the military base. And when the commanding officer walked up to him, he says, "What are you doing in that pot?" He said, "Well, you know, they told me they were running out of chopped meat in the cafeteria, so I decided to volunteer." So the commander said, "You got to be absolutely crazy. You know, come to my office. I've got to talk to you." So he went to the office. He walked in the office, didn't salute, didn't do anything, just sat down on the couch, you know, like, okay, here I am. Commander said, "Now look, I want you, you're so funny, I want you to go over to the Special Services Club and I want you to entertain them, and you better be funny or I'm going to court-martial you." Well, he never got court-martialed because he was funny from that time on, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Jumping in the pot to be chopped. So that was the beginning start of that. Now, Inglewood, you're coming in here on Saturday from 4 to 6, and that's exciting because that's where Mark Whitley Thomas will be holding the question and answering session there. I put that out.
Absolutely.
I send it out on the flyer. I know, you know, I'm sort of like political here. That's why I was attracted to the organization. I've been really seeking a group, organization of great standards, great legacy, great everything. So that's why I became a member of the NCBW Los Angeles chapter. But there's
wonderful. That's
all...
Eileen Harris, who's doing a great job with that chapter. And then we've got Lynn Dimely and Naja down in the South Bay area.
Yes.
They're going to be participating. All of them are going to be participating. And then there's one over in Altadena, but I think it's a private one over there at somebody's estate. But the one I really want to see my Los Angeles friends is the one at Crypto Blockchain Plug at 614 East Manchester Boulevard in Inglewood. And as you said, that's where Mark Ridley Thomas will be, and I'll get a chance to reunite with him. And I'll be there just looking forward. And every moment I know I'm going to be looking up to see somebody I haven't seen for a number of years. When I was in Los Angeles, I taught at Carver Junior High School.
Okay. Spirit Carver. Well, you know, I am over. Saturday is a crazy day, and I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to bring as many people as I can to come in and do what we have to do, because I definitely have to. If I don't stay, I just have to just show my face and see your beautiful smile. I see it now. I've never met you personally, but I feel your spirit. And for me to get the opportunity, Dr. Williams, to have this conversation with you and to have you join us here with Waking Up. And I know that you host a show called Waking Up, so all of these wake-ups are floating through the universe here. Because, we're all woke, but now we have to become aware and listen and keep our ears open, because we're all woke, because everything here is doing what it has to do. And as a culture of people and activists, I'm on the political end here. I'm run through, you know, as far as district and getting off into that political scene. But I don't do too well at the tables, because I'm not a, you can't sway me. So because I'm unswayable, you know, they see me coming, they know they're going to have a problem. But that's what I was put here to do, was to be a problem. I'm just learning how to do it.
Yeah, we managed to accomplish a lot, even, you know, ultimately electing an African-American president. But you know what? Things are going back in many ways. That's why we have to not only wake up to things, but stay woke, because otherwise we lose many of the things that we've already accomplished. So I just want to say to people, they don't have to stay the whole 2 hours when they come. You know, I just love to see them. They can pick up the book. I'll sign it immediately. I hope some people will want to stay for the Q&A, because it'll give them a little bit about what's in the book. I can't tell the whole story because I want them to get the book and read it, but I will tell them a few things that they might not have known about Dick Gregory.
Well, we're looking forward to being in your presence. Like I said, you're a living legend. The things that you have done, and when I complete, I have everything here, but you will get the whole thing of the beginning, because I really, really, really talked about you. Okay, I mean, I really, really talked about you. I got to reading and researching, and you know, I heard your name. I was listening. It was a speech that... it was Minister Farrakhan was talking about. I don't remember when or what it was about. Sometimes I just roll through things because I'd like to listen to him. And he said Dr. E. Faye Williams, and that was long before I knew you were coming. The name.
Well, you know,
was
I served as a co-chair of the Million Man March. Many people think I'm saying Million Woman, but no, the Million Man March.
That's
is because
what he was talking
when
about.
When he announced it, and you know, talked about all this million black men who were going to be in Washington D.C. and the women should just stay home and take care of the children, and, you know, whatever. And I raised my hand at the end and said, "Minister, now you know I love, honor, and respect you, but with a million black men in this city, you think I'm going to stay home?" And so the next day, I became the co-chair. I just spoke with him last week. We talked for an hour and a half. I mean, it's always wonderful to talk with him. He's so wonderful. I don't understand how anybody could hate him, because he's so gentle. He has so much, you know, information. He's sort of like Mr. Gregory. There's always something to learn when you're talking with him. So I was very proud to be able to do that and to have that long conversation with him on just maybe 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago anyway. But I will certainly look forward to being there in California. I try to get out as often as I can. I have a sister who lives in that area and, you know, many friends who are there. So I'm just looking forward to seeing them. At one time, I worked for the late Congressman Mervyn Dimely, and his daughter, Lynn, will be there. She and I stay together a lot. She's going to be going up to Sacramento with me when we leave Los Angeles. And we just left Oklahoma together. You know, wherever there is action, we try to be there.
Okay, I got you. And these people are all over. And it, like I said, when I spoke with Miss Harris, and she said, you know, she's coming. And I said, oh, no, I want to do this. So this, I said, no. This will give me a great opportunity. And I've had her on the show. That's how I met her, because she was speaking of her book. And at first she was saying, I said, just come on. I just want you to be relaxed, because I say, we're not CNN over here. We just give it to you straight up. Just let you be as comfortable as you possibly can. It's not about, we're not trying to impress. We're just trying to get that information out there. And I've had a lot of individuals, you know, to come with their opinion and stuff. And I'm, like I said, I'm a Texan, so I don't mix my words. But what I'm learning,
right? Well, I'm
do.
From just right next door in Louisiana. You know, I, before I go, I want to just tell your listeners just one more story, a Dick Gregory story,
okay.
to say to young people, it doesn't matter how you're born and how you grow up, you can become whatever you want to as long as you're willing to pay the price. And those are words that come from Eddie Robinson, too, down at Grambling. He always taught us there we could be anything, do anything we wanted to do as long as we were willing to pay the price. But the story I wanted to tell about Dick Gregory is that he would talk about his growing up, and he would say, oh, man, we were so poor. He said, if a rat ran across our floor, we just knew he was taking a shortcut to somebody else's house because we didn't have nothing for the rest, you know. And you know, it was a joke, but he wasn't truly kidding because he did grow up without a lot of resources, like many of us from Louisiana, Texas,
right.
and other places. But
right.
it never stopped us from doing what we really, truly want to do.
And he's so true because my favorite, and I say it all the time because the youth are, I tell them, I just make that quote. It's like, when, if you know whence you came, there are no absolutely no limitations to where you can go. And that was my guy, James Baldwin. So what he's saying, if you're willing to pay the price and the telling the truth, see, it's about you can only speak on the things that you know of. And when you're speaking true and from heart, and that's why I'm looking forward to meeting you. I think this is like I haven't got into the book. I'm just like I have a smile on my face over here, and if I wanted to go visual, people would see the brightest smile in the world to have this opportunity, Dr. Williams, to speak with you, the great things that you're doing, the greatness. That you put out there, and when I send this information to you, they heard a whole lot of information about Dr. Ife Williams and what you're about and how you've acquired, and I mentioned to them that you are getting the true, authentic facts here. You know, like you said, and I'm glad that you said, and most people have done research. Most people have, they're going on what they heard, but you have actual personal involvement there. So your facts are there, and I know it's going to be, it's interesting. I haven't completed everything, but it is an awesome book, and 614 Manchester, and that's at the Crypto Studio, Inglewood, California, from 4 to 6. Dr. Ethe A. Williams will be there for her book signing tour. Do not miss out the treat. I'm going to say this again to everyone, Dr. Williams. Y'all, that's what we call it down there, are going
that's
to be
right.
in for a treat. So you better get on in there to get that information. I'm finishing with my spill, and if there's something that you'd like to share to the young adults or to anyone, I'm going to leave that up to you for our closing words. It has been such a pleasure.
Okay, well, I just want to say that in the days after Mr. Gregory left us, or I should say as he transitioned, as we say down south, I was just absolutely lost. We had done so many things together for so long and for so many people. Once he was gone, many people called from all over the world knowing that we were friends. So so many just stopped by to talk with disbelief that he was no longer with us. And many looked to me for finishing things that we had begun together or carrying on the work we were doing together. And so that's what I feel compelled to do the kinds of things that we did together. I know that he's up there somewhere, probably making a lot of people laugh. St. Peter must be having an awful lot of fun or must be concerned about who is this that's making everybody up here laugh. But, you know, he was a person who was energetic. He was truthful. He told the truth. He was not afraid of the truth. He was concerned about everybody's health, and he was just the most wonderful friend that anyone could ever have. And it was Congressman Mervyn Dimerly from California who introduced me to Mr. Gregory. Both of them were very good friends, and both had great influence on my life.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. To know that you're actually there, you've been there, you started it with it, and the most important and exciting thing is you're going to be with us here in Inglewood, California.
Okay, so I'm coming back home. You know, I lived there for so long.
Okay.
And you know, I've had my challenges in my life before I left Los Angeles and since. But, you know, there is a way to overcome them. Where there's a will, there is a way. We use that down south a lot. And no matter what happens to you in life, you've got to determine that you want to overcome it, you want to move on, you want to do something good for personkind. I don't say mankind because I want to talk about women also. I represent women and their families. So just always remember that you don't have to allow things that happen to you to control what you do in your life. You have control over that. You can make it if you try, as one of the songs say. So you just have to keep on getting up whenever you fall down, and ultimately you can stand up and you can do the kinds of things in life that you want, no matter where you've come from, no matter how little you had to work with.
And I'm a firm believer of that, and that put a bigger smile over here. We're going to write that down and double do it. It's like, you know, people say, well, you've dealt with a lot of betrayal in your life. I always say betrayed but not broken, and disappointed but not defeated. Defeated, because that's that Southern in me. So that what you're speaking is the type of soil that is planted, and each and every day, or no matter where I go, I give appreciation to my mother for allowing the blood of her body to flow through my veins, giving me the fearlessness and the defeat and the ability. And what you're speaking of is what we are fed as in our young age carries us into our adulthood. And we have to be able to stand and get it done no matter what. Going back to school, Dr. Williams, I'm just looking at all of your things, and I'm saying, oh, yay, yay, yay. Oh, look at this. Look at that. I see that's why she can do this. Look at this. Look at all of these acclimates. That's work, work, work. You know, she got facts here. You know, she's living it. She's just not walking and talking it. She's being it. And what a great example how blessed we are to have such a precious gift as yourself, to be here amongst us, to keep us moving forward, to remind us, to bring firsthand information to us. And everyone knows of Dick Gregory, as you say. We know what he did for our lives, and to keep this legacy going so that we can continue to complete, as I say. It has been a pleasure, a pleasure, a pleasure. And if that's it, I know that you're busy. We appreciate you. You got a schedule from tight, as we say. And I love it that you came on. We're waking up with Linda Mack Shannon. And my end is always wake up, stay woke, stay aware, stay observant, but most of all, stay woke. Because you can be woke up, but some of us like to take naps in between, but you can't take no nap right now.
And Linda, of all the things Mr. Gregory taught me, the most important one was he said that we should strive to be lovable more than we try to be loved by someone. Make ourselves lovable, and life will be a lot better for you. So
oh,
that
goodness.
I never forget every day, and I try to live up to that in whatever I'm doing. I thank you so much, my sister, for having me on, and I look forward to seeing you.
I will see you there. I've had my doubts because of the COVID, because of, you know, socializing, but I will pop in and pop out because I want to shake your hand and personally thank you for coming on and caring and sharing with us here. And please enjoy your travels. Be safe out there, and we're with you. Just want to let you know that.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you,
just remind everybody to keep waking up and staying woke.
That's right,
okay.
Dr. E. Faye Williams, that's going to be with us June 26th, 614 Manchester Boulevard for her book signing. 4 to 6, plan to stay a little. It's going to be some questions and answers going on from Mark Whitley Thomas, and you want to meet this legend. This is a living legend. You don't want to miss out on this. Lots of education, lots of information, lots of facts, and I mean true facts. Dr. E. Faye Williams with us today. Thank you, listeners. Enjoy. And Dr. Williams, please enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. and care with love all through the land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
We give, showing others how to live.